Well, it's great to be with you again. My name is Mike Hardy, and today we're going to be talking in the next part of our Deep and Wide series about the neighbourhood. You remember if you watched or were present at last week's message, we began the series by talking about what it means to be deep and wide and how we don't have to choose between being deep or being wide in the expression of our faith, that actually both work together. And I showed you a graphic last week to kind of illustrate four different environments that we're unpacking over the coming weeks and how we live out, how we know what our role is in these different environments and what it means for us to express our faith in these different environments. And so we were talking about the neighborhood, the foyer, the lounge, and the kitchen. But today, I want to unpack what it means for us to love our neighbor, to be engaged as God's people in our neighborhood, and to express our faith in that environment. Okay, so join with me as we unpack today what it means for us to live as God's people in the neighborhood. So today we're going to talk about what does it mean for us as individuals of Good Life and what does it mean for us as a collective of Good Life to be present to our neighborhood, to actually be involved in our neighborhood, and why does that even matter? Right from the beginning in Scripture, we see a God who has always been about sending his people and empowering his people to love and be a blessing to the world. Right from the beginning in Genesis, we actually see the call on Abraham was that God would bless Abraham and that through Abraham, all the nations of the world would be blessed. And this was the call for Israel as a nation, that God would look after them, that they would be a light and that they would be a blessing, and that all the resource and blessing that God had given them would actually be for the sake of the world. Of course, the story of faith throughout the centuries has not always been what that calling was about. It's often been that we see the blessing as ours and we see things as being all about us and what we get and, is our life happy and is our life good? And we've forgotten the wider call that's for God's people to actually see that everything we have is a part of what God's doing in the world to bring about his blessing and his goodness and his shalom, the wholeness, peace and goodness of God. And so today I want to talk about what it means for us to go wide as a community, to actually be engaged in the community that God has planted us in. Good Life literally is here on the Sunshine Coast with a very specific mission and calling to use the resource and the good news message that we have to bless and to lovingly express God's love to our community. And we do this in so many different ways through our center and through all the different ministries and programs that Good Life runs beyond the Good Life Center through the community. The most amazing thing is we actually have missionaries that we support all around the world who have felt called to, as a vocation, go and actually use their gifts, their talents, their education, their sense of calling to actually go and serve other people in the world. And I love that our community is committed to resourcing and giving and supporting those people. But one of the big challenges in the Western world has been a mindset which is that we send out missionaries and then the rest of us are back here and we're finding ways to support them. So we pray for them and we give them money to support them in what they're doing. But we often, there's a disconnect between the missionaries out there and who we're called to be. So today I want to talk about, as we talk about this idea of going wide into our community, the frame has to be that we also are missionaries, that we fundamentally see our identity and our calling as God's sent people, whether we go overseas, whether we have a special vocational Christian ministry, that we actually see ourselves as people called to love our neighbors right where we live. And so the big idea that I want to really get through to us today is this. It's not just people overseas that are missionaries. We are all are missionaries. But you don't just like take on that identity as just a nice idea. The identity has to be lived out. And when you truly believe that God has called you to be a sent person, it actually changes the way you live. It actually means your everyday, ordinary life actually becomes more purposeful because you don't just go to your local cafe or to your neighbor's house or to your local sporting club with the mindset of, I'm going to get a coffee or I'm going to go do some exercise. You actually go with a greater purpose, which is I'm going to go and I'm going to do those activities, but I'm actually going to be a representative of Jesus in that environment. I'm actually there to love my neighbor. Jesus said in the Gospels that the greatest command is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul and all of your strength. And then equally to love your neighbor as yourself. So in the way that we value our life, that's the value we're going to place on those that we live amongst. So then we look to the second letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthians, the church in Corinth, and he says to them in chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, he says, "So we've stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun." And he says, all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task. Now listen to this, this is really important. Paul's saying, we've been given a mission. We've been given a task, a responsibility, and this is what it is. He says, the task is reconciling people to him, bringing people back into a right relationship with God. That's what we get to be involved in. He says, for God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, the whole world, the whole cosmos, no longer counting people's sins against them. That's pretty good news. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. And then he says the key phrase I want to zero in on today. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Now, this is kind of like a summary overview of our gospel mandate. We have been reconciled and restored to relationship with God. God does not hold our sin against us. He's invited us into life-giving relationship with him where we get to live out his kingdom life. But we're actually invited, as Tom Wright says, one great phrase I love, he says, is we are rescued rescuers. So we've been rescued from darkness to light, and we actually get to participate, not as these people that, you know, hey, we found the truth, we're the right people, but as people who humbly realize we've just discovered amazing good news and a way of life embraced or fully shaped in the way of love that we want to invite everyone else to come along with us. And so we get to play our part in our neighborhood in bringing about reconciliation on every front. And so Paul tells us here that part of our identity is that we're actually now Christ's ambassadors. Now, an ambassador is a representative. An ambassador is someone who stands in the place of someone who's not present to actually speak for that person, to actually represent them in the way they live and they conduct their life. And so that's our responsibility. So when we live in our neighborhood, our role is to actually see ourselves fundamentally with a new identity. And that is, hang on a second, I'm not just a regular person in this neighborhood here. I'm regular, meaning I'm equal with everybody else, but I actually have a responsibility. And that is that the way I conduct my life, my family, my coming and going from my home is to do so in a way that is an ambassador of Christ and his kingdom. Now, if Christ and his kingdom looks like love, and it looks like justice and mercy and kindness and all the wonderful things that is representative of the word shalom, the work that God is doing and that represents God's kingdom, then we need to participate in that in the way that we engage with our neighbors. So the challenge here is for us to see ourselves with a unique vocation and calling, just like a missionary would who goes overseas. We're actually intentionally representing Jesus where we go. Now, one of the things that's challenging about this is sometimes we like the idea of this and we go, okay, that sounds good, but what does that actually mean? Because we compare ourselves to missionaries and we see the great work that they're doing and we think, how could I possibly do something amazing like that? And this is where I think this idea that sometimes we think of like doing things for God as this big, great thing, and we actually underestimate the power of going small, the power of the little things that actually demonstrates God's kingdom. My mum, she's a pretty eccentric lady. And she's very intelligent. She's doing her, you know, second master's degree at the moment in theology. And she said to me one day, oh, I'm studying all this stuff in her retirement. She said, but you know what? At the end of the day, all this stuff I'm learning only makes sense when I actually go to my neighbors and I ask them how I can help them and support them. And what she's ended up doing is seeing herself a little bit like the chaplain off her street. And especially during the COVID lockdowns, she just took upon herself to say, look, how can I go and lovingly serve my neighbors around here by giving them food, getting them groceries if I could, and just doing these little acts? And it was a great reminder to me that this is what it means to be a missionary, to actually serve and love our neighborhood. And I don't know too many neighbors that would actually be threatened or be upset by that idea. Because at the end of the day, we can tell people that Jesus loves them. But the question is, are they experiencing Jesus' love through our lives? And are we the living expression of what that love looks like? Because that's the greatest testimony that we get to carry. One of the scriptures that I love is found in the Gospel of John chapter 1. It's where we read about how Jesus is the Word and how the Word became flesh. And Eugene translates one of the verses there as the Word moved into the neighborhood. Or the Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. And I love that expression because this is a phrase that often people in theological environments, academic environments, talk about the incarnation of Christ, God becoming human flesh and moving into the neighborhood, coming and living amongst us and being with us. And you may have heard the expression before about the missional church. It's the idea of the church not just being this holy huddle that gets together and does their little thing, disengaged from the world around about them, but literally taking on the very example of Jesus, who wasn't distant and far away from us, but literally came to live amongst us in the neighborhood. And so if we're following in the mission heart of God, that Missio Dei, the mission of God, then we're actually going to follow in the example of Jesus and get amongst our neighborhood. Live with the people that God loves and learn to love and serve those people. So when we think as individuals of Good Life about what it means for us to play our part in loving our neighbors, one of the things that can sometimes trip us up is we go, well, what am I going to do? And I've often encouraged people, listen, you may have people in your street, it may be people at your workplace, it may be people at your gym, and these are the people that you have the opportunity to love and serve. But sometimes we go, well, how am I going to do that? And I'm no evangelist, and how would I tell people about Jesus and the good news of his kingdom? And I say, at the end of the day, you just start doing the next loving thing that's right in front of you. And it kind of takes the pressure off, because I actually believe that the Spirit of God actually guides us as we walk along that journey. And so I heard a story that kind of really illustrates this really well for us. And it's the story of the famous Australian novelist, Tim Winton. You may have heard of some of his books, maybe you even love Tim Winton books. He most recently had written the book Breathe, that's been turned into a movie, and based in Western Australia. And he's actually from Western Australia. And he tells the story some time ago that was recorded in a friend of mine who's a pastor's book called Sentness, where he talks about how Tim had an amazing encounter as a young man. His dad was a police officer who was riding a bike one day and got hit by a drunk driver. And as a result, he went into a wall and ended up in a coma for a couple of weeks. And as he, when he came out of the coma and eventually made his way home, he was just, you know, not the man that Tim knew him before. He was weak and he was fragile, but he was still, it was too difficult for his mum to care for. And Tim tells the story of one day, a guy who rocks up at their front door, you know, bangs on the door, and as his mum went to the door, he says, "G'day, my name's Len. I've heard you've been having a rough time and that your hubby's had a bit of a rough time. I'm here to help. How can I help?" And so what ended up happening was Len would come in and he would start helping around the house, and he began lifting up Tim's dad and taking him from his bed to the bath. And he would literally wash him down because his wife couldn't do it, didn't have the strength to do that. And then he'd pick him up and he would take him back to his bed. And he began helping in such practical ways. And Tim says that this had a profound impact on him as he was growing up, because he was like, well, first of all, in the 60s, it wasn't very common to see a man come in, pick another man up and bathe him and put him back in his bed. It just wasn't the known thing at that time. What blew him away was that Tim found out that Len Thomas was part of a local church. And this was his expression of loving his neighbor, was to go to knock on the door and say, "Hey, how can I help?" And sometimes loving our neighbors is as simple as that. It's just saying, "Hey, how can I help?" 3 decades later, Tim Winton says, "Well, from that experience, it had a profound impact on me. And I realized that, you know, for all the theology and all the stuff that we can talk about, at the end of the day, it's that practical love that actually transforms." And he actually went on to write stories and short stories illustrating exactly how this dynamic of people who have a faith, live it out practically in neighborly ways, can have a profound impact on the way other people experience faith and actually even encounter Jesus. And so I want to encourage you today. You may be a Len Thomas. You may be someone just like my mum, who just looks for an opportunity in their street, who says hi, who asks some questions, who doesn't judge people and doesn't try to convince someone that they should become a Christian, but literally lives out the life of the kingdom of Jesus by lovingly serving, listening, vulnerably sharing your story as you listen to someone else's story, and then seeing if there's ways that you can literally express your faith in love. So I want to encourage you. What is it that you think God might be putting in front of you? What's already in your hands? What opportunities are around about you? I have friends who have decided to take on this new identity of going, yeah, it's not just overseas that are the missionaries. I'm also on mission too as an ambassador of Jesus. I have a friend called Michael who was the CEO of a major superannuation company in Australia. And he was part of my former church. And he said to me one day, every day I get up, I realize I have this privileged position to go in and to do the work that I do. And I connected to so many people. And he said, I realize I can't do this by myself. And I also need to go in with an intention to love and serve the people as a representative of Jesus where I go. And I go, that's it. That's part of loving your neighbor. I have another friend called Renee, who she was running a homewares business. And her and her husband decided, you know what? It makes more sense for us to put the whole thing online. But then they decided for a whole season of their life, you know what? We don't want to do that. It's actually going to cost us more, but we're actually going to stay open in the community because she said the relationships that she was forming and the mums and the different people she was connecting with felt of so much purpose to her that she decided that was going to be an expression of her mission serving women in her community. I have another friend who's probably going to come to Good Life at some point, and she's an Olympian. She was a young girl who was in our youth group, and she found faith in Jesus, and she discovered that she's a pretty good runner, and she's gone on to represent Australia in the Olympic Games many times. Her name's Eloisa Wellings. She was just in the recent Commonwealth Games. And the amazing thing about Eloise is, when she was a little girl, she grew up with a dream to run. But her dream got overtaken by a bigger dream, which is to use her running and her, the platform that she has for a bigger purpose. And now she started and co-leads a foundation called Love Mercy Foundation that helps vulnerable people in northern Uganda. Because she discovered that running and reaching her goal of making it to the Olympics and running the races of her life isn't actually the biggest race of her life. The biggest race of her life is learning to love her neighbor and use what she has to represent Jesus. So my encouragement to you is this. Whatever you have, wherever you go, in your going, represent Jesus well. This is what it means for us to love our neighborhood. Good Life does so many things in the community. There are opportunities through the Good Life Center to serve, to get involved. I spent time the other day with some of the people from Lifehouse and heard about all the many years that they've served the community in those roles. There are so many opportunities to volunteer and express neighborly love through the ministries that we have. But don't let your life be limited to what you can be a part of, because there's someone that lives next door to you in your street or is at your local sporting group that is an opportunity for you to express God's love to. So let's go and let's be those people. Okay, so as we wrap this up, this week, the question we want to be wrestling with is, where and who am I intentionally going to live out this idea of loving my neighbor with? Who's God calling me to? Who do I intentionally and deliberately going to serve and express this whole idea of loving our neighbor with? The mindset we want to have in this is, I'm a missionary too. I need to keep supporting missionaries and I need to be thinking about how I can support other people and what they're called to do. And that's really important, especially as it relates to vocational ministry. But I have to actually see myself as a missionary, as someone sent by God to love my neighbors too. So our prayer today is this. Lord, may I love my neighbor as you have loved me.